Transfer complete.
Hello and welcome to Subspace Transmissions, the podcast where two Trek fans step into the arena and tackle the best, worst, weirdest, wildest, and everything in between that Star Trek has to offer. I'm Cam Smith, and joining me on the bridge...
This is Tyler Orton, flying like a novice, trying to do one of those Nova Squadron moves. Cam, why do I feel like a novice today?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay, Behind the scenes troubles.
You'd be great in the groundlings, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. I have lots of practice, formal training.
Okay. I think maybe I feel like a novice because we're doing what as our conundrum, Cam?
We are doing the Beginner's Guide to Star Trek.
Oh, beginners. Synonym for novice.
Yes. Okay. And we have a very special guest this week. Currently pondering a floating space cube, Janine Smith.
Hello.
Now, I've been outnumbered so many times by Ortons at this table that for once we have a relative of mine.
Yeah, we've been looking to get Janine on the show for quite some time, in fact. Cam, you and I, we pitched this idea about a year ago.
Right.
And we figured it'd be, about a month until we got Janine on the show?
That's right.
Janine, what kept you from getting on the show sooner?
I think it's just come down to a very demanding schedule.
Okay.
You know, where... Everywhere I could fit it in, I did. I diligently went back to the old Netflix and knocked one out of the park when I could.
We should explain what this episode is about. Of course, we wanted to find out if we could convince Janine that Star Trek is worth watching. So what are some good episodes that we could assign to her to make her come to appreciate it? So it wasn't necessarily like I think would constitute the best episodes of Star Trek, Cam, but stuff that would at least spark the interest of a novice or a beginner.
Yeah, and you know, the original episode idea was just we would pitch her each an episode and see which one she preferred, and then we could talk about, you know, why that is, and then maybe ultimately at the kind of a wrap up which series we sold the best. But then along the line, we decided to make it a competition as well, because there's five series, and so she's going to like a number of episodes that factor towards one person having more successful picks in winning over a non-fan. And so now we have an actual, we have stakes to this contest.
Yeah, Cam, you sent me a very frightening text message the other night where, what exactly is this wager here?
We have decided that the loser will have to do a solo commentary on an episode of the winner's choosing, and that episode will be posted on our Facebook group, and it will not be a pleasant episode for the winner or for the loser to have to do commentary on.
It'll no doubt be amusing for the listeners here, but yeah, I think you and I, we're both going at it. Let's reveal it at the end what our picks are going to be, but I think we both want to make it painful for the other person who loses this wager. Essentially, we have to get, you know, kind of what, three episodes or convince Janine to who likes three episodes before the other person.
Yeah, first person to three.
Okay.
So, you know, Janine, before we start, just want to establish your bona fides. You know, growing up, we didn't watch any Star Trek in our house.
No.
Really, of the TV series.
No.
I think I occasionally watched Next Generation, but you never did you?
No,
You'd watch the movies, though, right? If Cam brought back, like, a Star Trek 4... Yeah,
I've seen
the whales.
I've seen the whales.
Okay.
I definitely remember the whales. I think I've seen the one with Satan.
Well, yeah, it was Star Trek V, The Final Frontier with God, essentially the search for God.
Yeah,
and I believe we watched Star Trek III, but that was about it. And didn't we watch First Contact with the Borg Queen? I remember watching
that.
You never watched it.
No.
Okay.
What we're establishing here, though, is Janine is no fan of Star Trek.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not even really a fan of the new ones.
Okay. Right. Well, what do you think of your brother spending so much energy devoted to a podcast like this, though?
I mean, it's not surprising.
Okay.
Really.
It sounds like something he'd do. Yeah.
There was a lot of indulgences and weird things as a child.
Ooh.
He tends to go really like hardcore into something.
Yeah.
And it's just how long that will last.
So there's a time limit on his devotion to this podcast here.
Like He-Man. Like we had Rubbermaids.
That was just last week.
Rubbermaids filled with toys and everything. There's comic books.
I remember helping Cam move apartments and the number of Star Wars toys that I had to pull over in boxes. I mean, it was grueling.
Right.
Yeah.
So enough humiliating information about me. Let's move into TOS.
All right. Well, I'm curious what Janine's picks are going to be in this situation here. So, Janine, we assigned you Carbamite Maneuver and Mirror Mirror. Tell us, why don't we first, you put the guess out there. Who do you think assigned you each episode? And then we'll ask you which one you liked more.
Okay. My guess was that Cameron did the Carbamite and you did Mirror Mirror.
Interesting. Okay. So before we tell you the answer, though, we want to find out what your pick is. Like, what did you like more between those two? And then we can go about justifying those.
Right.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to admit they were both pretty hard for me to get to.
Okay.
They did feel long.
Mm-hmm.
They're
longer than usual. Yeah.
I found the Carbamite Maneuver, I found it to be a slower paced episode. Mm-hmm. I found that one a lot of a spinning cube. I thought it gave a better intro, I thought, to characters and understanding.
It was kind of a pilot, right?
It was the first episode shot after Where No Man Has Gone Before.
Yeah, you're still introducing who these folks are. So.
Yeah.
All right.
So Mirror Mirror, I thought it was more entertaining.
Okay.
But I felt like I didn't really understand the characters enough to really enjoy it.
Right, because that's a Mirror Universe episode, so you're seeing sort of these different looks at characters you're not that familiar with to start with.
Yeah,
right.
So I was kind of like, is that what they're like?
Right.
No. And they weren't like, I didn't find them to be really total opposites. They were more like opposite, but then caricature of an opposite.
What, you don't think Kirk as the barbarian screaming his head off was all that different than the Shatner we know and love?
Yeah.
No. Well, so Janine, let's get to it. Make your pick, and then Cam, we can debate how we justify this.
Right.
Okay. I enjoy the Carbamite.
Oh, wow.
Really? Okay. Even though you say that Mirror Mirror was more entertaining.
Yeah.
Now, why then do you pick Carbamite?
Clint Howard.
Okay.
Clint Howard definitely score.
I mean, that's my answer for everything, too.
I really enjoyed the visuals of Carbamite. I mean, I enjoyed watching the spinning cube and the gold. Whatever they were. I found the Mirror Mirror as much as I found it more entertaining. I also found it more confusing.
Right.
So it was harder for me to sort of, not knowing the characters, really identify with the change. And
so not a great introduction for someone who's not familiar with that world already.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense to me, Tyler.
Okay, well, that's because Cameron is the one that chose Carbamite Maneuver. So your guesses were correct. I went with Mirror Mirror because, as you said, I thought it was more entertaining episodes. Mm-hmm. I think it's also very iconic. So I figured like you would be able to recognize, say, Spock with the goatee, some of those mid-drift women, you know? Mm. So I figured, oh, you know, maybe it's something that she can attach to and be like, oh, I get all these references now from the Mirror Universe that I may have just picked up through osmosis. From just absorbing, you know, like pop culture, essentially. So that was my justification. I think, like, honestly, it's one of my favorite episodes. It's just a fun one to watch.
Right.
I think, Cam, though, I mean, I think you're smart because Carbamite, it's essentially kind of the pilot episode. It's meant to introduce it for people that were not familiar with the series.
Right. My philosophy for my picks was, I first off chose a lot of episodes that were very early in the series. I don't know. That was a very stubborn thing that I started doing.
Maybe don't give away.
Yeah. But, you know, it was just I wanted episodes that essentially sold the crew so that a newbie would understand this is kind of what Uhura does. This is what Spock does and so on and so forth through the series. And I kind of break my rule sometimes. I didn't hold 100% true to it, but that was very important to me with the original series. And, you know, the first handful of episodes of the original series are they're introductory episodes, but I find a lot of them are weak when we're talking like Man Trap or what have you, The Enemy Within. But I thought Carbamite Maneuver has that perfect blend of sort of that suspense, that idea of going into the, you know, unseen reaches of space, weird aliens, character dynamics, you know, Kirk and Spock, Kirk and McCoy having discussions. I just thought it built the characters better.
Okay.
So. And it had like a suspense to it.
Interesting. Okay, guys, that does it for TOS.
Well, before we just wrap up TOS, actually, Janine, I'm curious, you know, having watched these two episodes, TOS, where's your, like, walking away from these two episodes, what was kind of your feeling on the original series?
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it didn't win you over?
No, it didn't win me over. Yeah, I was like, I mean, I wouldn't put it on, but if someone put it on and I was there,
Right.
I would probably watch it.
Would you be looking at your phone a lot of the time?
Probably not.
Okay.
No, like it was enough that I wouldn't seek it out.
Right.
But I didn't have like an aversion to it.
Do you understand why people are such fans of this? Just based on like the little glimpses that you got here.
Because these were two of the most loved episodes.
Yeah.
Here's where I can understand, and this is where you confuse me a bit, Cameron. I can understand if you grew up with it.
Right.
You know, like I grew up with James Bond. So people that join that universe now are like, whoa, what are you watching?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I feel like with this, is I don't really understand people that watch it now and then are like, this is it for me.
But that was Cameron, though. Like you.
That's
only,
what I mean. Yeah. Is I don't.
Yeah.
Because you only got into Star Trek really in your adult life.
Right. Yeah. For me, it was the character dynamics. It was the color. It was the imagination behind it that you don't see in a lot of TV, at least that we grew up with, which is the 80s, 90s forward, where it became a little more static. Now we're back to more cinematic television.
Yeah.
But this era very much is that. And I'm a big film buff, so I see a lot of the similarities between the TV of that era and the films that I love. So that, I think, it plays a big part of it.
Okay. Well, excellent. Why don't we jump on over to our thoughts, Cam, on The Next Generation. Who do you think made you watch each episode here?
Okay, so my guess was that Cameron picked Cause and Effect.
Okay.
And Tyler picked The Offspring.
Any particular reason?
Okay. Kelsey Grammer was in Cause and Effect, and since Clint Howard was in The Last Choice.
Right. I figure there's like something about sitcoms.
Yeah, I thought right. If he's...
They're very similar actors.
He's trying to make me be like, oh.
Oh, okay.
I know that person.
Yeah.
All right.
Like I suddenly feel a connection because I watched Cheers. I watched Frasier.
Right. Yeah. Now, I'm fascinated about Next Generation because for a lot of fans, Next Generation is like the be-all, end-all of Star Trek. So I was very curious to see how you would approach it because in my mind going into this, I thought original series would be the one that would work for you the best. Mm. So this actually is very interesting to me. So let's get into those two episodes. So between, you know, Cause and Effect and The Offspring, you know, what were your thoughts on sort of the two of them? Why don't we start with The Offspring?
I found The Offspring to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It took on some very social issues, I felt.
Right, yeah.
Which was both interesting as well as like, okay.
Like a little heavy-handed? Or?
Yeah, okay. Like I think just because of society right now.
It seems a little antiquated, you know, like we've come much further.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have we?
Well, you do wonder some days.
At what point is it your child?
It is Data's creation.
That is true.
Yeah.
So did it strike an emotional chord for you at all, the way that it does so many fans?
No.
No?
Really? Interesting.
No. I mean, I don't know Data.
Right.
I guess was part of it, so I didn't really understand. I'm like, if he can't really have emotions, how does he have emotions?
Well, that's the thing is he doesn't, but his daughter does.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it felt like he kind of did, how he's like, that's my daughter, and I care.
But do you think it's maybe the actor coming through in a very kind of almost static performance, but he's still able to, you know, present this emotional core to this character in a certain degree? Or am I just thinking, digging way too deep into it?
Possibly.
Okay. So what did you think of Cause and Effect then, Janine?
I enjoyed Cause and Effect. I really enjoyed the Groundhog's Day.
Did it confuse you at all when it started going?
Mm-mm.
You didn't think that the crew had literally just met its maker and that was the end of Star Trek The Next Generation when the ship blew up?
No.
Okay. Did you know that back in the day when this first aired on television, a lot of TV stations were getting complaints from viewers saying that they had kept repeating the same scene over and over again on the show?
Really?
Viewers weren't sophisticated back in the day.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So this actually came out right before Groundhog's Day, though, Cam.
Did it really?
I think it did.
Okay.
I could be getting my dates mixed up, but I think this came out before Groundhog's Day.
Season 4, isn't it?
Yeah, so that would have been 1991-ish.
Right, yeah, Groundhog Day was 1992.
Yeah, so,
okay. Okay, so that episode inspired Groundhog Day is what you're saying. Yeah.
There you go.
What'd you think of the appearance of Kelsey Grammer, though? Did that
I was very excited.
Sell it for it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It was almost like Clint Howard.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a presence.
Yeah.
Okay, and were you a Sideshow Bob fan as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's anything that Kelsey Grammer can't do.
Okay.
That I'm not a fan of.
But what did you think about the solution where Data looks at the three pips on Riker's collar and that solves everything?
I got to be honest, I didn't really understand how they sorted it all out. Okay. There, how they were like leaving clues like the number three, or I'm like,
a lot of techno babble.
Who would pick that up?
Maybe the android with no emotions.
Maybe.
Okay.
Next Generation was always kind of viewed as the more intellectual, I guess, Star Trek compared to the original series, which is sure. more of an adventure story.
Yeah. Okay.
And this episode, I think, definitely doubles down on that. It's a very kind of complex sci-fi paradox.
High concept.
High concept, yeah. Definitely. And so the high concept worked for you. It didn't feel like you were being kind of sat down in front of like something incredibly confusing and bizarre. Like you and I, when we were young, watched 2001: A Space Odyssey, an experience that I think has forever marked you because you did not enjoy that movie.
I refuse to talk about it.
And so this episode didn't have any of that sort of impact on you. You weren't annoyed by it.
No.
In any way. No. Okay.
I actually really enjoyed it.
Okay. So
I enjoyed seeing them discovering, like, especially the woman.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know any of their names.
Was it the doctor or
the doctor,
counselor?
Okay. Right.
Okay. So Crusher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beverly Crusher.
Right.
The one as she figured things out.
Right. Okay.
I enjoyed that.
So out of the just two episodes, which one was your favorite?
Cause and Effect.
Nice. Okay. That's a Tyler pick right there.
Oh.
So you picked the right one. I appreciate that.
And what were your thoughts walking away from TNG?
Yeah. Is this a series? Okay. TOS did not grab you. And I think that it had a lot of issues. Like, it took me a while to come around to it.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I was all about the next gen. And I just couldn't wrap my head around kind of the older school sort of storytelling, or just, I guess, the mise-en-scene, you know, so to speak. What did you make of TNG?
I liked it more than the original series.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But it's...
You mentioned the pacing about TOS. Did that have anything to do with it?
Yeah, this definitely felt...
Okay.
Quicker.
Really only the original series is, I felt like, okay. Let's move along.
Okay.
Right.
The rest of them, I didn't feel any sort of pacing issues.
Going into this, I actually thought you would warm more to the original cast.
Hmm.
But did you feel like the TNG cast was more appealing?
You know what? Not a fan of Picard.
Interesting.
Which did surprise me because I'm
right.
a big Patrick Stewart fan.
Yeah.
And maybe it was how he was in the episodes.
Right.
Was it Mastermind that drew you into Patrick Stewart?
Of course. Okay. He just seemed very...
No. I think it was Green Room.
Green Room, yeah.
He just seemed very, like, angry
right
away. And, like, with Data and his child, he's like, well, it's not your child. And then suddenly he was like, I care about your child.
Right,
and I was
yeah.
like, I don't understand where he's coming from. It's like he's very aggressive either way.
Right, yeah. He's definitely much less cuddly than, like, a Captain Kirk,
mm-hmm.
who seems more of, like, a relaxed, fun guy.
Yeah.
No, I definitely.
Although in real life, I think I'd maybe flip that around.
Yeah, no
for
kidding.
The actors.
That's how good actors they both are.
Yeah,
they play their exact opposites.
Well, that's what I mean. I have friends who are really big TNG fans mm-hmm. and all about Picard and have seen all the other series. So I was thinking that when I went into this, I'd be like, yeah,
all right.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Then when it was over, I was like, let's be done with it.
So TNG. Didn't win you over, but it won you over a little more than the original series.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Well, why don't we jump over to Star Trek, Deep Space Nine. I'm curious
yeah.
A lot about our picks here.
I think from this point forward, it became harder and harder for us to pick episodes to recommend to a newbie.
I think we both struggled, but
we'll see. The struggle gets worse with each series from this point forward.
Absolutely. Okay.
So why don't we move into Deep Space Nine? We both struggled with our two picks. They were the season one episode Duet,
yep.
and the Bond spoof Our Man Bashir. Two very, very different episodes. I think of all of the series we had to pick episodes, these two episodes from this series were the most opposed to one another.
Yeah.
So why don't we get into it? Which one did you think? Which episode do you think each person picked at this table?
Okay, well, I guess that Tyler picked Duet. And
right.
you picked, what is it, Our Man Bashir.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay, so let's start with, Duet. What were your thoughts, sitting through this episode, which is a very heavy episode?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty heavy.
Why were you laughing throughout them?
Well, because I find mass death hilarious, of course.
Save that for the best of clips, Cam.
I thought it was really heavy.
Yeah, going into it, did you know anything about it, or were you just kind of hit in the head with a very dark story?
Just purely hit in the head. I knew absolutely nothing about Deep Space Nine. I didn't even know who the captain was.
Right.
Like, it took me a while to be like, oh, it's that guy.
And he's a commander at that point, too. He's not even a captain. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. Yeah. So,
but what did you make of the storytelling, maybe the performances? How did you leave after the episode was over? What was your state of mind? I don't know.
I really enjoyed the villain. I don't know if you'd call him a villain.
Right.
Really, knowing the conclusion.
Right, yes.
But I thought he was great.
The Cardassian.
Yeah, how he sort of flipped around with who he was.
Just kind of
and...
a clerk, not like this mass murderer. Yeah. But he had this survivor's guilt, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I thought it, you know, dealt with that sort of topic.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it dealt with it like much it better it... than like the... what's a child and which then it did in The Offspring.
Right.
It wasn't maybe as heavy-handed or...
No.
Okay.
I felt more believable.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Now, how did you respond to the character of Major Kira, who is one of the most popular characters in Star Trek in many ways? Because this is very much a Major Kira showcase, this episode.
Right.
And so how did you respond to her?
I thought she was good. I mean, I didn't personally identify
mm-hmm.
with anything.
With a former terrorist?
No.
You weren't a child soldier?
I wasn't, sadly.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It did feel a little like she forgave very easily mm-hmm. and became like, you were an angel. And that it's sort
that
of
Sarah McLachlan song playing?
Yeah.
What? Okay, Sarah. Well, let's jump over to Armand Bashir. You thought Cameron picked this one.
I did.
Why is that?
Because it's James Bond.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And knowing, I mean, I did talk about that at the start of this episode.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Bond.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. And what did you think of? Do you think it was just somebody trying to beg for your approval when it comes to Star Trek? Or did you think it was an entertaining episode?
It was kind of like at that point I started to wonder, okay, are these picks aimed at anyone's introduction to the series, or is this being aimed at, let's try and get Janine into the series?
Mm. So it felt a little cheap to you?
A little shameless, a little pandering?
It did feel a little like, I mean, that was it. That's it felt like a gimme.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what did you think of this episode? Because, you know, you are a big Bond fan. You've seen them all many times.
Oh, yeah. It got me.
Did it? Okay.
Yeah, I loved it.
Okay.
I loved it. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Immensely.
What was maybe kind of your favorite quirk or character or story beat that really spoke to you, I guess? Like, what stood out? What was a highlight?
I mean, I just loved the focus on Bond, like the whole little thing sprinkled in, like Dr., is it Noah?
Right.
And little volcanoes in the corner and the eye patch. And I just loved it.
Now, this episode features Avery Brooks, the commander on the series, now a captain at this point, as Dr. Noah, the villain.
Yeah.
What did you think of his performance?
Oh, he was amazing.
It's
I
big,
loved
right?
it. It was over the top. It was huge. I was like, if you're going to do a Bond parody or whatever, this episode.
Homage.
Yeah. Homage. That's how you do it.
Right.
Like, you just go for it.
And how did you feel about Sidig Al-Fadel as Bond? Like, was he a fun actor to be seen playing Bond?
Well, you know, it was funny because he's not Bond.
Right.
But he's exactly what you picture as that guy that wants to be James Bond.
He's got the initials. Julian Bashir.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I never put that together.
Oh, really?
No,
really?
I didn't. This is embarrassing.
But I was like, that's the kind of guy that really has next to zero sex appeal.
Really?
Interesting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Doesn't look like he could take anybody in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And he's out there and he's getting the women and he's beating up the guy. And that's where I'm like, that's the perfect guy that would have James Bond as his fantasy role model.
So, Cam, when we did First Crushes almost a year ago exactly, we asked some friends in Las Vegas about, you know, maybe sex appeal. And a lot of them, more than I ever imagined, named, you know, Julian Bashir's, like, the sexiest, like, character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the accent was part of it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What I did think was odd about that episode was... again, I don't know who the guy is, but the guy that I guess came into his little virtual reality world.
That would be Garrick.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
how quickly he was like, yeah, I want to watch this.
Well,
like, because it started out, it felt very James Bondy to me.
Right.
But it also seemed a little like virtual porny.
Right.
And then how quickly that guy was like, I'm into this. I'll just stick around. I was like, what am I watching?
What are they making me watch?
Yeah.
This podcast?
Yeah.
I think Garrick is kind of the perfect foil because he was also always. Up until, I guess, season five, he was kind of sexually ambiguous. Mm. He was also a former spy, so he kind of fit into this Holosuite program as well. And he was also buddy. He's, you know, Bashir was one of his few friends on the station. So
right.
I thought, like, Garrick fit in perfectly in this one.
Right. And what did you think of the two female actresses, Nana Visitor and Terry Farrell, playing Bond girls?
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they really, I mean, they did it up.
Right, and
that
yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I think because someone did their research.
Right,
it wasn't like someone that's like, oh, I've heard of James Bond, so we can theme it that way. It was someone that was like, I know James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell that there's a lot of love like put into mm-hmm. this episode from the producers, the writers, directors, what have you.
Yeah,
and I think the actors too.
Right,
like these actors had fun.
Oh, I think this was probably one of the most fun episodes to shoot of the entire series.
Yeah.
It's not hard. I guess it's not a lot of competition in that regard.
Fair enough. Okay, well, so Janine, why don't we reveal the winners? Drum roll.
Armand Bashir.
Oh.
By a landslide, or was it like a close call for you?
I enjoyed both.
Yeah.
This definitely was my favorite by far. My favorite series by far.
That's interesting.
Okay.
But I would say, yeah, Armand Bashir by quite a large margin.
Nice. Okay. That's another Tyler pick right there.
What?
That is a Tyler pick.
What?
Yeah. Look, Cam's talked enough about
God.
You. I know
that's
I could just
crazy.
Aim for a James Bond episode and try to get your vote, you know?
Okay. Let me justify myself.
Justify duet.
This is blowing my mind.
A duet to bring in new viewers, Cam.
Okay. Again, I wanted to focus on episodes early in the series that I felt established the tone and feel of the show. And I think Duet does a fantastic job at doing that. To me, Armand Bashir is such an oddball offshoot episode that is in no way representative of anything to see on that show, except for maybe Take Me Out to the Holosuite. Other than that, there is nothing in the entire series of Deep Space Nine like this episode.
Okay, I'll say this. Duet is a very heavy episode.
Yes.
I
and
don't
so
know,
is Deep Space Nine as a series.
Yeah, but there's other heavy episodes that I think you could use to draw viewers in. I think Duet's like... That's asking a lot out of the viewer.
Right.
And Armand Bashir, I was just shamelessly trying to get Janine's vote. Simple as that. But here's what it is. That is a fun episode.
Right.
If you put any novice in front of the TV, make them watch that episode, I think they're going to say, that was fun. Are there more like this? Maybe
no.
I can jump in. Well, you mentioned Take Me Out to the Holosuite.
Yes.
I would say there's others like Little Green Men.
Sure.
You know, some of those Ferengi episodes, maybe Emperor's New Cloak, where we get to see the actors in kind of different ways.
We're going to sell that one as a great
well,
fun
you know,
episode.
It's not a complete anomaly. Like, I just listed a whole bunch off the top of my head.
Right.
So, and look, it's working out for me. But I'm shameless about it. I wanted Janine's vote. And I also think it's a fair episode to show somebody who's not all that familiar with Star Trek saying, look, this show can be anything. And that's what I love about even a series like Deep Space Nine, which is known as kind of the dark series. You can have Duet 1 week, and the next week you can have Armand Bashir, which just blows my mind.
So walking away from it, your favorite so far of the three was Deep Space Nine.
Yes.
Huh?
That's fascinating to me.
I would have assumed maybe TOS or Next Gen.
I thought it would be a sliding scale of like, yeah, TOS and TNG were fun. And then after that, it was kind of like, well, you know, that one was fine. That one was fine. Picard or Kirk, you know, I thought when you got to like characters like, you know, Sisko and Dax and so on and so forth into the others, it would be kind of like, I'm not as familiar with these people.
Mm. You know, we both picked episodes that are not, you know, story arc heavy. These are very episodic sort of bottle episodes.
Right.
Janine, I mean, knowing that this series is actually the most heavily serialized one in Star Trek, does a continued viewing of Deep Space Nine hold any appeal to you? I think your silence speaks volumes.
I mean, I'm not against it.
But you're not
but
for
it's,
it?
There's, But there's so many shows out there that I want to see.
Right.
It's not like suddenly I'm like, okay, well, I have to pursue this.
Yeah.
Right.
But if I got down to a point where I was like, well, there's nothing really, it would be something that I'd consider.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's very interesting to
me. So maybe when you're in the old folks' home, you can look forward to some more Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, shall we move into Voyager then?
Can't wait, Cam.
Voyager very much interests me because it's a series that is quite polarizing with fans, I think.
Yeah.
And so, Tyler, you'd agree, this was not an easy series to pick episodes necessarily for.
It's tough because, like, if you look at top 10 lists for favorite Star Trek Voyager episodes, there's no uniform sort of pick. Like, it's everybody has different picks for everything, and which tells you kind of something about, A, that the quality of the series is all over the place.
Right.
And also, I think people like it for different reasons. I think a lot of people... I think it's definitely the most high concept out of all the series, but a lot of people may like it for that. Others may just like it for the characters as well. So I had no idea what to really do for this.
Yeah, and also it's the issue when you look at top 10 lists for Voyager, a lot of them are two-parters, and we agreed in advance we would not pick two-parters.
Yeah. So, we weren't going to make you sit through any two-parters,
Janine.
That
might have taken me a year and a half.
Yeah.
So I had to, you know, strike, you know, Unimatrix Zero Part 2 off my list.
Your favorite one.
Yeah. So, Janine, let's get into Voyager.
Okay.
We assigned you two episodes.
Yep.
They were the 37s, where Janeway meets Amelia Earhart, as well as Message in a Bottle, which has the two doctor programs meeting up, Andy Dick and Robert Picardo. So... first off, who did you think picked each episode?
I mean, I have no idea anymore.
Right.
But who I wrote down at the time is I thought Cameron picked the 37s.
Okay.
And Tyler picked Message in a Bottle.
Interesting.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, and so let's start with the 37s. What were your thoughts on that episode?
Okay, I'll just say I love this. I love these two episodes.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Interesting.
Love them.
Wow.
Okay.
Maybe we're good at picking after all, Cam.
We have friends who are hardcore Voyager fans.
Yeah,
so,
that's true. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I love the 37. Like, right off the bat, I was like, that's my captain.
Oh,
interesting.
Wow.
And I try, you know...
like, Janeway was the one that you, like, you know, I guess, identified with the most out of all of them that you had seen.
Well, I don't know if I identified with her, but it was at the... I think it was at the end of the 37s where there was that opportunity for the crew to stay on the Earth-like planet or, you know, go with the Voyagers.
Right.
When they all just chose to stay with her, I was like, I get it.
Mm.
Right.
That's a captain I can get behind. Whereas the other ones,
right?
Kirk, Picard, and
Sisko.
Dr. Noah.
I don't know.
Really? Like they wouldn't win you
like
over.
Like, I was
as leaders.
Instantly like, she's enthusiastic.
She sure is, Janine.
She seems like super supportive. Mm-hmm. Like, I really enjoyed her.
Oh, wow.
And so I was instantly like, I am in.
What did you think about the central dilemma of this show with, like, these people waking up from 1937? Did that capture your imagination at all? Is it something
it
you
a
can
little,
relate to
it got
as a...
little
a,
icky at the end when they're like, and now I have Japanese food for the Japanese guy.
Yeah.
And now we have Indian food. So the caricature bit of it was a little... hard to take.
It's the 90s. It's
a
different time.
It's a different time.
They're
trying
their best.
Yeah,
I enjoyed
sure.
the Bond stuff, and that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the dilemma of, like, well, this is what happened to Amelia Earhart, and this is what we're dealing with now. And
yeah,
how,
have you been following this photograph scandal about whether or not it is, in fact,
I have.
Amelia Earhart?
I have.
Yeah. Right now, they say it's probably not.
Oh, okay.
So, so there is hope that... this is what happened to Amelia Earhart.
And I'm curious, what did you think of the scene where Janeway meets Amelia Earhart? Did that have a certain power to it to you?
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
To sort of think of that Amelia Earhart would have that impact on someone so far in the future.
Right.
Well, what about the teaser? Were you blown away when there's a truck floating in outer space?
I mean, after seeing the spinning cube for like 20 minutes, I was like, whatever. I was more confused by the guy that seemed to know everything about that truck.
Oh, Tom Paris.
Yeah. Like, I was like, that's a very obscure thing to have this much knowledge about and be able to, like, know the engine and, like, kick it over and everything, because it's not like it's a 37. I mean, it's old for today's standards.
Tom Paris is an expert in 20th century culture.
Well, what a coincidence, Cam. This show was produced in the 20th century.
I know. It's very coincidental.
Oh, okay. It is coincidental. I did notice, though, that they started that car with very new looking keys, and that kind of bothered me.
Maybe the replicator. Yeah,
you know. Maybe.
Okay, so let's move on to Message in a Bottle. This is kind of a wacky episode as well. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Message in a Bottle?
I like this one as well. This one was a bit mirror for me.
Right.
In that I didn't know the character.
Yeah,
because
this is a very doctor heavy episode.
Yeah, and okay. I first of all wasn't aware that the Voyagers were lost.
Right.
Oh. Okay.
So this is where I suddenly realized that, because they're writing letters home or something. I also had no clue for half the, I guess for the last episode and then half this episode, that the doctor's a hologram. So I spent a really long time wondering how this was all working. Yeah. And I was like, is this like Deep Space Nine, where they had to save them into like the mainframe?
Right.
And that's how they went. Right. Or I was like, what is, and then I think I have a note even where I'm like, is this guy a hologram? Has he always been a hologram?
That is amazing.
That would have never occurred to me.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, so.
And a lot of the episodes do mention that he's a hologram. So we managed to pick two episodes where it's not actually emphasized. Or that they need to get home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had no clue.
Yeah, that's complete fluke on our part, I guess.
It wasn't really until the end of that episode where they say, like, we spoke with your family or whatever it was, that I was like, yeah, they are lost. Because when I thought maybe because she's writing a letter to Mark, who I guessed was her husband. I'm like,
oh, Mark.
Boyfriend, yeah.
I'm like, maybe he's dead. Like, maybe that's why she's like, oh, it's pointless to write these letters. But it's like an exercise in grief.
Right.
And then at the end, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not to jump ahead, but That made me want to watch the series.
Interesting.
And it's interesting because we both picked high concept episodes that don't rely on the overall mythology of Voyager.
Right.
And I think that was, at least that part may have been actually intentional. And I think we did that for a number of the series, because when you're really tying into the overall arc of the series, it might be confusing for a newbie. I think that's maybe why we chose these episodes. I this one is a real crapshoot for me.
Well, Janine, I have to ask, what did you make of Andy Dick?
Oh, right, yeah.
I mean, it was super random. I was... he was funny.
Oh,
that's great.
Cam and I, we were going back and forth about whether or not you would appreciate Andy Dick.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I really...
Or if you would have a kind of visceral reaction to his presence there.
Not visceral, no. It certainly wasn't
It wasn't like Clint Howard.
It wasn't the warmth of Clint or Kelsey.
Okay.
Right.
But it was
we're all
the loving embrace. Yeah.
Those sitcom guest stars. It's, you know.
But I mean, I watch so much news radio.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that
yeah.
Seeing Andy Dick in anything else is a little difficult.
Did you watch the arc where they fired Matthew from the station?
Yeah.
I really like that one. It was fun. Yeah. Anyway. Did you watch News Radio, Cam?
I did, for sure.
Oh, man. Yeah. Good, underrated sitcom.
Very much so. Yeah.
I loved it.
So, Janine, why don't you tell us what your pick is, and then Cam and I can justify it.
Okay. Right. Well, my favorite episode, although I enjoyed both immensely, was The 37s.
Ah, okay. Interesting. Cam, that was your pick.
Yes.
Why don't you justify it?
I was right.
For me, again, going back to my cliche, I wanted to pick an episode early in the series that I felt established enough of the crew members and sort of the feel of the crew. Now, I didn't establish the premise of the show, apparently, but I thought that Janeway, and I ranked her very high when we did ranking the captains. I think Janeway as a character really pops on screen. And so I wanted an episode that really kind of highlighted what was important about her. And I thought this episode stood out because you have the Amelia Earhart relationship. I thought that's kind of moving in a way, because this is the first female captain as a lead we see on Star Trek. And I just felt like it was a premise that was different. It felt like when we look at all the episodes we chose for, each of our five picks, this episode does not, it's not going to be confused with Duet.
Yeah.
So that was kind of justification. What were you thinking when you chose Message in a Bottle? What were you thinking?
This is a answer the question. This is a fun episode.
Right.
And look, I this is back in the day when I loved news radio and I was like, oh yeah, I got Andy Dick on the show. He's having fun bouncing off Robert Picardo. They had a lot of chemistry together. Mm-hmm. I loved seeing the Romulans. And there's just cool high concept stuff like watching the tri-saucer separation go on with the Prometheus. You had some Romulans. I didn't know if Janine was going to recognize the Romulan intrigue, but to me, it
judging from her expression, no.
She had no clue.
I got really excited when they said there was a warbird. I know what that is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go, Cam.
Yeah.
So I figured, look, this is a fun one to just sit a fan in front of. If they don't know anything about the series, this is going to be kind of a way to ease them into kind of those high concept things and just give, this is when I think the Doctor was at his best. Like there's a point where the Doctor was my favorite character and then he just became very grating for me. And this was kind of the peak Doctor for me. This is kind of the era that I loved him in. So I don't know, that was my justification for picking Message in the Bottle. There's a couple others. I think if I had to do it again, I may have done a Blink of an Eye instead, just because that was another high concept episode where you're watching the crew is watching this civilization on another planet that experiences time in a different way. So they watch them from going from like caveman to Renaissance times to like modern times, and just like it's a fun high concept episode too that I thought Janine may have liked. But Cam, I'll let you have this one. We are now tied 2-2.
This has worked out very well.
I didn't think it'd come to this, actually.
Yes, I'm already warming up my my pick for what you're going to be doing a commentary on.
Okay. Well, why don't we jump over
to the real crapshoot, Enterprise?
Now,
Tyler, you would agree with me, right, that Enterprise is the toughest one to recommend episodes for.
My whole thing is, look, the final two seasons, 3 and 4, that contains all my favorite episodes, but they're so story arc heavy.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, what exactly is going to appeal? And honestly, I looked through seasons 1 and 2 and I tried to find something that could appeal to Janine as well. And so I went back and forth about, you know, what would work best for her. But yeah, it was a bit of a difficult one. So.
And also season 1 and 2, you've got all this temporal Cold War stuff going on. And it's tough to pick episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Would you ever recommend Enterprise as a starting point for anyone?
No.
Yeah, right.
You know, even though you and I both like this series now.
Yes, and it's a prequel series.
Yeah, exactly.
But Janine's eyes just like went wide when I said that.
All these things I'm learning after watching episodes.
Yeah, did you know that this took place 100 years before Kirk and Spock?
No.
Did you think it took place like concurrently with Picard and Janeway and all? Or what did you think? They had different
Thought they all took place after one another.
Okay.
So I thought Enterprise was the most recent. And I thought, oh, they got new uniforms finally.
Oh, okay.
Right, okay.
Cool.
So let's get into Enterprise. We picked 2 episodes. I think not necessarily 2 that people are going to be like, oh, yeah, those are the 2 you're going to pick.
Oh, yeah.
So we picked the episodes Dawn, which is sort of a riff on Enemy Mine, with Trip and a reptilian alien played by Greg Henry are stranded on this sort of desert like planet that's very hot, and they have to work together and overcome their differences.
And I thought that was the enemy.
Yes, no kidding. Enemy Mine riffs, man. Yeah. And then we also picked Impulse, which is the zombie Vulcan episode. So Janine, let's get into these 2 episodes. What were your thoughts? Why don't we start? Who picked what first?
Who picked what? Yeah.
Okay, this one I wasn't quite sure.
Neither were we.
Up.
Yeah.
So I thought that Cameron picked Impulse.
Okay.
And then Tyler picked Dawn.
Interesting.
Okay. So why don't we get into these 2 episodes? Let's start with Dawn. What were your thoughts on this? I'm not going to say remarkable episode, but this noteworthy one.
Sure.
Oh. Maybe it's because I was still in my bright-eyed state of Voyager.
Right.
Because I watched these pretty much right after.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like this.
Okay.
Oh, all
right. I didn't know what was happening. The opening, what's with the song? like, I was instantly like, first of all, I didn't know what was really going on in the opening. Because I have no idea who this guy is and what's really going on. Because he's like, engineer log. And I'm like, who's this guy with a log now?
Right.
And then suddenly he's getting shot at and this and that. And then this song that's biblical.
What did you make of Faith of the Heart? It's very controversial among fans.
It's terrible.
Okay.
Right.
I don't understand it at all. And then
it was originally Diane Warren penned it for Rod Stewart. And it appeared in the Patch Adams soundtrack.
Yes. And apparently originally they wanted U2 Beautiful Day
to
fill that void for where that song ended up.
I don't understand why there was a song at all.
A lot of fans don't either.
It's not really... Yeah.
Although people will sing it ironically for Star Trek karaoke at the conventions.
Yeah.
And in a lot of cases, not so ironically.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Cam is more of a fan of this song. I'm not so much, but it was very controversial among fans because I think they had the same reaction you did. It was like, why is this song here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It felt very out of place, and it was very hard for me to deal with.
Right. I would have gone with more of like a nautical-themed sort of pirate song or something.
Sea chanty.
Yes.
Yeah.
I is the bye who sails the boat. I is the bye who hails her.
So let's talk about Dawn.
Okay.
This was not an episode that worked for you, you're saying.
I just didn't really enjoy any of the characters.
Mm. Okay.
Really.
See, Trip Tucker, he's like a fan favorite. No? Not with Janine?
He talks like Christian Slater.
Does he?
Does he?
He does.
Who also appeared in Star Trek, by the way.
He has a very Christian Slater voice.
Okay.
Like this?
It's sort of the Jack Nicholson, hey, you freaking guy.
Can I fix that engine now?
Right.
Yeah.
What about the alien played by Greg Henry? Did you find their conflict at all interesting?
I enjoyed the alien. Mm-hmm. What always annoys me when we come into anything where there's, dare I say it, like a white man against any sort of race, species, whatever.
Yeah.
Like he's like, why don't you understand English? And talking in English very slow and very like aggressively.
Right.
And then just being like baffled by why that guy doesn't understand it. And then so the other guy somehow starts to understand it.
Right.
As opposed to it ever being maybe the other way.
It's kind of ethnocentric sort of storytelling.
There's a very good Next Generation episode, which I believe, Tyler, you almost picked, which is Darmok.
Yeah.
Which is a very similar premise, but it's more about Picard meeting the alien on his level.
Yeah.
Mm.
He's not like, you must learn my English language. The Shakespearean language.
And it felt a little of that. Icky and that like, well, almost this guy's sort of like a lesser and that like, of course he'll come at him with the gun, like, oh
right,
there's no way he'd make a peace, you know, sort of
right
or anything. So
this one just left you feeling a little unnerved to a certain degree.
Well, and then it kind of irritated me because I'm like, why would you sit out in the sun? Like there's shaded areas, or like I understand having the transmitter in that spot, but this poor lizard man, like take him to a somewhere where he's trying to hide behind grass and everything. I'm like, it doesn't seem like the best idea.
So what you're saying is you had a lot of sympathy for the lizard man.
Show me a story of the lizard man and I'm in.
And what about the rest of the cast? They don't play a prominent role in the episode, but did, well, you know, you've got Scott Bakula as the captain, or did any of these characters pop?
Well, I liked the Vulcan.
Okay, T'Pol. Yeah.
T'Pol. What always baffles me with some of the captains, I found this a bit with, I think, the Deep Space Nine one, is it's like they don't really know anything.
Right.
Like they're surrounded by
experts,
right. But it's like, I mean, that captain should know a bit more history than he seems to know.
Okay.
Like he had no clue what those species were. Mm-hmm. I mean, while the Vulcan's like, I know all about this. And it's like, you don't know anything. You're captaining a ship that's exploring the outer reaches of space, and you have no concept of this or this history with the Vulcan race.
Do you want to explain it to her, though?
Well, I mean, this is a prequel series, so it's man's first step into the great space.
I didn't know it was a prequel.
Right, yes. So, I mean, T'Pol as a Vulcan has actually, you know, they have awareness of other cultures, which he does not.
Okay.
So, in that respect, it makes sense. She's essentially there as an advisor to kind of fill them in on sort of the land, essentially, that they're traveling. So, but I can completely see how that would be aggravating for someone who was not aware of the central premise.
It just sort of feels like if you're the captain of a ship, like, yes, there's always the specialists that are better in their certain fields, but you should have, like, even if he's not aware of entirely everything, but he should be like, oh, there's a history with.
I think Archer's history is more in, like, engineering side of things, right? Yeah.
Who's Archer?
He's the captain.
Yeah. So why don't we jump over to Impulse now? Okay. What did you think of Impulse?
I enjoyed it. Again, the captain seemed to know nothing. Right. And that really, like, when the Vulcan was talking about, like, how they had the history of violence, and he's like, what? Like, how does he not know this? Like, come on.
I've often said, like, I defended Archer as essentially he's the captain that writes the book on how to be a starship captain. So the show has to always have him learning things because he's the one who's sort of doing trial by fire in his job. That's always been at least my justification.
I understand that, but I don't understand how you cannot have a fairly decent history.
Right.
Right? Because the Vulcan race, like...
Well, the Vulcans have been very kind of, I don't know, treated humans like little children, right? And they haven't been forthcoming with all their information. T'Pol was only on the ship very reluctantly at first, you know. Humans, like, they've never experienced any of this before, so they don't know what to make of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's like a
This is where maybe these weren't the best introductory episodes.
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe we failed you in that regard.
I spent most of my time very angry with the captain.
But what did you think about the concept of the Vulcan zombies, the execution of it, the atmosphere? What did you make of those elements?
It felt very 90s.
He was shot in the 2000s.
I realized that. I was like, when was this made?
Right.
And I was like, but it just, I think because we've come so far, maybe it felt older than it was.
Star Trek Discovery, hope so.
It kind of felt like those, like The Raid or any of those movies where like there's almost like levels they have to get through.
Yeah.
And there's the Judge obstacles.
Dredd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
I think this wishes it could be The Raid.
No. Yeah.
Do you think
The
Raid was inspired by Impulse?
No, definitely, obviously. Yeah. To me, this feels like the 28 Days Later of Star Trek.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, sort of her slow progression.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then when they tasered her, that made me laugh.
Did you ever find it scary?
No.
Okay, yeah. Because, I mean, this is an episode I think that was intended as Star Trek horror episode.
Yeah, I think we discussed this on, like, when Star Trek gets spooky.
No, I don't think it was that one.
No? Okay.
I think it was, like, maybe Scariest Aliens or something. It was one of our Halloween episodes. Maybe a couple of our...
I think that was...
Or was
Star
it Creepiest? Creepiest episodes, I think.
Sure.
Way back in the early on. We've done it more than once. I know for sure we have.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, yeah. I mean, it's an episode that... I don't know how it is with fans. Like, are fans big on this episode? We've definitely talked about it, I think, more than a lot of other Enterprise episodes, but...
I think it's a relatively memorable one because of the high concept element in it.
And it stands out.
You never see Vulcans behaving like this.
Right.
So it's interesting to me.
Right.
Janine, this is my pick. You've crowned me the winner of this wager here. Yeah.
So justify why you chose Impulse.
You know, just reasons I said just now, the very high concept is spooky. I thought Janine would have kind of liked this, especially, I have to be honest, Cam, like, I don't have like great memories of Dawn.
Yeah.
I remember being kind of boring and slow.
Right.
And I did not think Janine was going to like that one.
The reason I picked Dawn was because, you know, a year ago we did our panel at Star Trek Las Vegas, and I talked about this episode quite extensively on stage. And so
Janine wasn't there. She didn't care.
She was not. No. But when I revisited this episode, I actually kind of got into it because I thought it was a very good character-centric episode. And a lot of my picks are character-centric episodes. You know, you look at, like, The Offspring... Duet. These are all episodes that focus on a particular character because I was really rolling the dice that she would like these characters. Oh. And I thought maybe Trip would work in that regard. This is one of his better outings. I considered Shuttle Pod 1, which is the episode where him and Reed get trapped on a shuttle.
But I
don't know. Maybe that's too much. I thought like having the alien there would add to it. It was a little more, you know.
Shuttle Pod 1 is an episode that I like, but I don't know if it would have been like a high paced episode that would really reach out to a beginner and get them to want to watch the series.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the problem with Enterprise, because when I thought about it, the episode that jumped to my mind first off is like, I think this is the best entry point for a newbie, someone who's never watched a show, was Carbon Creek. But that episode is not representative of the series, and I really, unlike you, didn't want to pick episodes that weren't representative of the greater series. I didn't want to cheat in that regard.
Cheat? Dude. There's no cheating involved here.
Well, yeah, okay.
How can you possibly cheat in this?
I suppose when you write your own rules, I guess you can't cheat. But
wow.
So, Janine,
someone's a bitter Betty.
So before we reveal what episode I'm going to be doing a commentary on, Janine, going through this whole experience, first off, how was it? Like, when you reached the end of the journey, how did you feel having, you know, watched these 10 episodes of a series previously that you had no interest in watching?
I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me sort of more of an understanding of what people are talking about.
Right.
And I mean, I really enjoyed Voyager, so I might have found a show that I'll actually watch.
Going into this, I did not suspect that Voyager would be the show that would draw Janine in more than anything else.
No, I thought that and Enterprise would be the two that she would not respond to at all.
Yeah.
And I thought Deep Space Nine was a real gamble.
So 10 episodes in, Janine, this is the most Star Trek you've ever watched television-wise. Do you have any thoughts about the fact that Tyler and Cam devote so much time to this? Well, there you go, guys.
I don't really get it.
Right.
I even after watching it.
What about Voyager, though? Does that?
Well, I mean, I.
But which Cam and I aren't really big fans of.
Right. So nothing sort of jumped out at me like, oh, I get it.
Mm-hmm. It didn't click in the way that
it
like,
didn't click with me in that way. But I'm not really a sci-fi person.
Right.
So there could be that.
Mm-hmm.
It could also be date, age, where I. What I watch now.
You're in a
that...
far better place in life than Tyler and I.
Yeah. Cam, we're
just praying for the 23rd century where there'll be hope.
She's not a sci-fi person. She is like a dog person, though. Maybe you should have signed a night in sick bay. There's a lot
Porthos
of Porthos
the dog,
in there.
Maybe I should have.
Well, I thought I was going to see the Tribbles. I was full on like, absolutely, the Tribbles are coming in.
Tyler,
like,
why did we not pick that?
I have a Tribble.
Yeah. Why did we not pick Trouble with Tribbles? Was there a reason that you didn't?
I thought Mirror Mirror was just a little bit more high concept and iconic.
Yeah.
And I like Troubled Tribbles. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of my, I would say, top 5, top 10 TOS episodes. So, I don't know. I just thought I had more of a chance. I thought Janine was more of like kind of the dark,
brooding type. No.
Mustachioed, kind of Vulcan.
I can tell you why I didn't pick it. And it's because there's like a fist fight in that episode, a bar fight that goes on for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I thought you'd just be like, this isn't as funny as I thought it would be.
Oh.
And TOS, different pacing, different, you know, era. I just didn't think maybe the comedy would hold up as well.
But why not? Why did you pick Duet over Trials and Tribulations?
Because I was trying to pick episodes that were representative of the series.
Yeah.
So, Tyler, oh boy, tell me, what episode am I doing a solo commentary on?
Before I get to that, Cam, I want to know, what were you going to assign me if I had lost this wager?
Okay. I racked my brain because I was like, I want to give him a torturous episode to watch and do commentary. So I'll tell you some of the episodes that skipped through my head.
Okay.
We'll always have Paris, mostly TNG episodes. I thought Where Silence Has Lease. I think Man of the People popped into my head at one point. Then I kind of skipped over that one. Those were the main ones. I did think Strange New Worlds from Enterprise, because I know you hate that episode.
It's the stupid hallucinogenic rock monsters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ultimately, the episode I was going to assign you was Tattoo from Voyager, which is the origin story of Chakotay.
Okay. It's amazing, because that actually popped up on my list well. As well as Nemesis from Star Trek Voyager.
Right.
I wanted episodes that were like weren't so bad that you can at least comment on stuff, but it was like episodes where you just have nothing to say, but you'd have to fill up time somehow, I wanted to just punish you. Then I realized we don't want it to be punishing for listeners as well.
I was going to punish the listeners too.
Okay, so there's a couple others that I was going to like list off here. Progress, that's where Kira goes and helps the farmer on Deep Space
for
Nine.
An hour straight.
Yeah. That one would have been torturous. Right. I don't know what listeners like would have wanted to go into that one. And then there's like stuff like Transfigurations, which is a really bad Beverly Crusher romance episode.
Right.
The Loss, where Troy loses her empathic abilities. It's not a good one.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I haven't decided. It's between two.
Okay.
And like, I want to be able to like get listeners, like our listeners, to like tune into this commentary. So I was thinking, like, what's a bad iconic episode that's going to be torturous for Cam? Because there's bad episodes where you could just like have fun making fun of the episode the whole time.
Right.
But like, I don't know. I'll let you know what it's down to at this point.
Okay.
Maybe some listeners will be mad what my ultimate decision is. But like, just for the fun of kind of our ongoing jokes on the podcast, life support is a possibility.
Oh, that was actually, I considered that too.
Yeah, with the death of Beryl, because right. I think any listener knows that we enjoy making reference to one Vedic Beryl, the most milquetoast sort of love interest you could ever imagine.
Right.
And it was a slow death.
Yeah.
It was a very boring death. The other one, though, is a little bit more iconic in like just how bad it is. Shades of Grey.
Oh, my God.
Star Trek The Next Generation. I think this has the potential to get more listeners. Like, what is Cam going to say about Shades of Grey for 45 minutes? To you, I mean, I already know. I've figured out what I'm going to do. I'm actually going to write it down.
Okay.
And just to prove to you. But I want to hear which one would actually be your choice to do and which one you're like, please don't make me do this one. But hold on one second. I'm just going to write this down very briefly.
Yes, very good. Boy, that's a tough call. Shades of Grey and Life Support are two episodes that I think are... They rank very low on the lists of... I believe Jordan Hoffman did his list of ranking the all-time Star Trek episodes.
Yeah.
These two are near the bottom. So was Tattoo, for that matter, which is kind of what solidified it with me.
I honestly was going to go with Tattoo until I realized, like, what listener would honestly listen to you talk about that episode?
Right.
Cam, what would be your pick between those two?
You know what? Neither one of them scares me.
Okay.
Shades of Grey, I think, is the more memorable one.
Okay.
I think it's the one that like people would be like, yeah, what is someone going to talk about for that episode? So that would be my go-to, I think.
You know what, Cam, I have it written right down here. You can
Shades of Grey.
Yeah, so Cam will be watching Shades of Grey and doing a solo commentary
on the hour-long recap episode.
yeah. This will be like kind of a bonus episode, so don't worry. It's not going to be like next week where listeners have to listen to a Shades of Grey commentary and kick Tyler off the podcast for a week or anything
so
like that.
So look for that on the Facebook feed. Yeah. That's where it will be. And I will record it this week. So I have the next 2 days off after recording this, so maybe I'll actually record it tomorrow or the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that is going to be very interesting. It's going to be an exercise, I think, in torture, but also an exercise in what sort of tidbits can I come up with to kind of make the commentary at least a little informative.
Yeah.
To talk about it in some sort of way.
Give some historical context with the Writers Guild strike that was going on.
Sure, yeah. And, you know, you and I have done two commentaries at this point.
Yeah.
And then also all the ones for trailers and things like that. But we've never done them on our own. So this is going to be, I think, this is going to be a test for me, and I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Well, Dune and I changed up versus our from commentary one to commentary two.
What's that?
Is I went and watched the second commentary episode before you and I sat down.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a whole bunch of notes on it.
Right.
Are you going to watch Shades of Grey two times in a row so you can take down notes and then comment on all the things that you figure would be worth bringing up?
Maybe. I haven't decided yet.
So it'd be double torture for you, which I kind of
enjoy. It might be.
Okay.
So, well, okay. Well,
we'll
thank
find
you.
Out soon enough.
So Janine, thank you very much for subjecting me to Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Hey, it was worth it. You didn't pick the Bond one.
Hey, if you would like to come watch Shades of Grey with me, you'll get a recap of the entire first season of Next Generation and second season.
No, I'm good.
Okay, so I think on that note, our assignment is complete. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, we want to hear from you. Send your thoughts and feedback to subspacetransmissionspod@gmail.com. Now, Tyler, where can they go to find my upcoming Shades of Grey commentary?
Yeah, go to facebook.com/subspacepod or just search Subspace Transmissions in your Facebook search bar. Like us, lots of fun, like exclusive content going up, not just the commentary episodes, which we're doing a lot more of, but also, say, videos that we're producing. Having a lot of fun there. And also, it's just a good way to watch us comment on kind of this current state of Star Trek and... Yeah, it's fun. Give us a like button if you like the show.
Cool. What in the name of Vedic Beryl are we doing next week?
Okay, and we're going to do a episode review of the two-parter Future's End with special guest Tony Galush. Cam, you suggested Tony as the go-to guy for this one. I think you are correct. I think out of all our previous guests, Tony is the right one to handle Future's End.
He has become our go-to for like fish-out-of-water time travel comedy episodes.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to have a ball with this one. Janine, this is a Voyager episode. Huh? So, you know.
I might tune in.
Okay, so you can also reach us on the Twitter. I'm at Cam. V is in Voyager's Janine's favorite, Smith.
You can find me at Reportin. That's R-E-P-O-R-T-O-N. N as in Noah, Doctor for the win.
And Janine, are you on the Twitter?
I am on the Twitter. I don't really do anything but retweet Cameron and Subspace Transmissions, but you can find me at Freebirding.
Okay. So until next time, the arena is closed.
Transfer complete.